SABC News, independent and impartial.
From an African perspective.
Top stories: the Sawa former Gambian president's mansion seized by U.S. Justice Department, Senegal sacks its health minister, and details emerging on U.S. school shooting.
SABC News, independent and impartial.
From an African perspective.
Good morning. It's 8 o'clock Central African time here on Channel Africa with your news update. I'm Jolani Tulo. The U.S. Justice Department says it has secured the forfeiture of a mansion bought by former Gambian President Yahya Jammeh for $3.5 million with alleged corruption proceeds. The property in Potomac, Maryland is said to have been acquired through a trust set up by his wife, Zineb Jammeh. It has now been forfeited to the U.S. along with all rental income generated by the property since a complaint was filed in 2020. The former president is accused of having conspired with family and associates by using shell companies and overseas trusts to launder his alleged corrupt proceedings throughout the world. The Gambian government this week said it was ready to prosecute him for what it called the myriad of crimes he committed during his rule. He has denied allegations of wrongdoing. Senegal's health minister, Abdoulaye Diouf Sarr, has been fired after 11 newborn babies died in a fire at the maternity unit of a hospital in the western city of Tivaouane. The fire was caused by a short circuit. The tragedy has set off a wave of grief and outrage throughout Senegal over the state of disrepair at some of the country's healthcare facilities. President Macky Sall has declared 3 days of national mourning. A group of the elders meeting with South Africa's President Cyril Ramaphosa have expressed the need for world leaders to take a stand against the ongoing invasion of Ukraine by Russia. The elders are an international non-governmental organization founded in 2007 by former President Mandela, made up of public figures such as peace activists, senior statesmen, as well as human rights advocates who offer collective experience to promote peace. The war in Ukraine has led to food shortages, especially in Africa, as the two countries are exporters of wheat and cooking oil. The elders' deputy chair and former South African First Lady Graça Machel says all efforts should go into ending the conflict.
We are all impacted by this war, and that is why world leaders cannot sit on defense. All efforts must be made to bring about peace. It is right that we call out the double standards of those Western leaders who condemn aggression by Russia in Ukraine, but who turn a blind eye to such crimes elsewhere, but that does not neutralize the injustice and oppression of what we are seeing in Ukraine.
South Africa's President Cyril Ramaphosa will today visit the Republic of Equatorial Guinea to attend the African Union's 16th Extraordinary Summit on Terrorism and Unconstitutional Changes of Government in Africa. The summit is hosted by President Teodoro Obiang Nguema Mbasongo of the Republic of Equatorial Guinea and initiated by proposal from Angola. The summit will take place in Malabo in the Republic of Equatorial Guinea on Saturday. The summit will assess the persistent threats, evaluate current response mechanisms, and decide on the specific actions and measures necessary to strengthen the collective security of member states facing terrorism and violent extremism. And finally, it has emerged that gunmen who killed 21 people at a school in the town of Uvalde in Texas was able to enter the building unhindered through an unlocked door. 18-year-old Salvador Ramos barricaded himself inside a classroom where he killed 19 children and two teachers. There is growing anger over the way the police dealt with Tuesday shooting, the BBC's Will Grant reports.
The police response to the shooting is being examined, with questions about why the gunman was able to spend an hour inside the building before being stopped. As the political debate over gun control rages, Republican leaders are trying to direct attention to the issue of access to schools and campus security. Across Texas, in Houston, members of the country's leading pro-gun lobby, the National Rifle Association, are gathering for their annual meeting. Among the speakers are Donald Trump and the Republican Senator Ted Cruz. The company which made the weapon used in Uvalde, Daniel Defense, has pulled out of the meeting.
Recapping the top stories, Asawa, former Gambian president's mansion seized by U.S. Justice Department. Senegal sacks its health minister and details emerging on U.S. school shooting. For Channel Africa, I'm Jolani Tulo.
SABC News. Independent and impartial.
From an African perspective.
Welcome to this life-changing experience. We move a way of no return from seven wonders of the world to the summit of Kilimanjaro. From the statue of Nelson Mandela to the African Renaissance Monument, we break all the boundaries. From the greatest archives of Timbuktu to the deepest oceans and rivers of Africa, we reveal the mysteries. We asking life's biggest questions. We rule the world of esoteric knowledge. From ancient Egypt to fourth industrial revolution. Ladies and gentlemen, Masterclass Africa, CERMEX,
the knowledge premier.
Cosmic knowledge is about the genesis of the Basotho people. This knowledge describes the origins and the connectedness with the cosmos as confirmed in Dumelang. Before they carry out their agricultural activities in the new year of Pato, they consult the systems of Silimela to forecast the season and to determine the types of crops to grow. If the Basotho astronomers declare a dry season based on the Silimela star system, then Basotho grow more of the drought-resistant crops like mabele, tepe, and others. This is extracted from a great book, The Sacred Knowledge of the Desert, offered by our guest today, Mocholoko Zulu Matabo Zulu. Welcome to Masterclass Africa. I am Sir Max, a knowledgepreneur, and we're sending our love and light throughout the African continent today. We are interactive on all our social media platforms, on Twitter at Channel Africa One, Facebook is Channel Africa One, YouTube and Instagram, it is Channel Africa Radio. Every week we trot in the globe and the continent to bring you some of Africa's top thinkers. And I can tell you that today it is no different. That is why we're encouraging you to be part of this conversation. A big, big month in the African continent, where on the 25th of May, the whole continent was commemorating what is known as the Africa Day. In fact, now the African scholars and the Pan-Africanists prefer to use the word African Liberation Day. So he will be joining me in a short while in this conversation. Mocholoko, a public author, intellectual historian, and a poet, will be doing a wrap-up of the Africa Month, and we'll be looking at so many things that they are doing. We're taking a quick break, but on the other side of the break, we're coming back with him. Stay with us. Don't touch that dial. We're coming back.
Across the globe, every second, there's always a breaking story.
Kolita Njoye for Channel Africa Radio in Ethiopia's capital, Addis Ababa.
Reporting for Channel Africa, I am Hilda Kekeloa in Zambia.
Our cutting-edge and hard-hitting journalism leaves no stone unturned, giving you the whole picture every time.
George Muhango, Channel Africa, Blantyre.
Reporting for Channel Africa, this is Moki Kinzeka in Yaoundé.
From an African perspective, listen to Channel Africa in English, Kiswahili, French, Portuguese, and Chinyanja, informing the world about Africa.
Join us every day and know what is happening around you.
Channel Africa.
Welcome to Change Your Game here on Channel Africa, the African perspective. We're coming to you from Johannesburg in South Africa. My name is Asanda Peta.
GDF Forum is about and what opportunities it provides specifically for the audience of Change Your Game.
At Change Your Game, we believe entrepreneurs are the key drivers of tomorrow's African innovations and essential to creating a thriving African economy.
More support, just like invest more in young creatives and entrepreneurship, but actually do it. Don't just talk about it, actually do it, you know, because there are a lot of creative minds, there are a lot of intelligent human beings in our country, so I think they should invest more in that and take it seriously, because it's a real thing.
Catch us every Friday at 900 hours Central African time with Channel Africa, the African perspective.
We are back here on Masterclass Africa, and today I'm joined by a published author, intellectual historian, and a poet, a well-traversed man. I mean, this man is the elder when coming to African scholarly prowess. Mucho loco, Zulu Matabo Zulu is on the show. Madume Mhlumphei.
Yebo.
We are so honored again to have you on the show. Are you well, my elder?
No, Raphila, I can meet. Yes, we are well indeed. We can hear from you, and greetings to the audience.
Beautiful stuff. It's always a great pleasure to talk to you. You are one of the remaining black wisdom keepers. That is why we always want to tap from your cup of wisdom.
From the calabash of wisdom.
Now, a big month, Mucholog. I mean, Africa Month on the 25th of May, many people were commemorating, in fact, the continent were commemorating Africa Day. But scholars are saying it should be African Liberation Day. What do you want people to remember or to commemorate this month of May? What should it mean for us as the African continent?
Yeah, I think African Liberation Day is more appropriate because it also gives the context, you see. Like we say Africa Day, a lot of people ask a question, what is the Africa Day for? But if you say African Liberation Day, then people will then understand the context. Liberation, that's what it is about, because it's a historic day. You know, 1963, that's when the liberation, that's when the Organization of African Unity, OAU, was formed, you see. And then, of course, from there in, I think that was 2013, that's when they were celebrating 50 years at that time, and then they formed the African Union. So now the next in 2063 is going to be 50 years, and that's why we have the Africa 2063, whereby we'll be celebrate, that will be 50 years, and we want Africa to be a new continent at that point, where there will be, you know, there will be no poverty, there will be no civil conflict, you know, and then people will be the architects of their own destiny, you know, the unbought and the unsold architects of their own destiny.
Beautiful stuff. And then, Mucholoko, in part of taking this continent forward, you are the director and also the founder of Madisebo University Research Institute. Now, I want you to take us on its Afrocentric curriculum and the approach towards education, as well as the programs that are streamlined to elevate African consciousness. What is happening at Madisebo University Research Institute, and how is it different from all other institutions that we know, mainstream universities, and why did you decide to found this particular institution?
Thank you very much. So that project began in 2011, after more than 20 years of exile. So I was from Canada at the time, and then I decided that, okay, what we need to do, we need to form our own schools, because the current schools are based on the ECC, that is Euro-Christian Colonialism. So these type of schools, actually, they were designed in order to miseducate the African child about reality. So they were designed to miseducate the black child about reality. Because I will tell you, the biggest mistake that we have ever made is that we never build our own schools. We take our children to be educated by the schools that were designed by, you know, the descendants or those who, you know, enslaved and colonized and brutalized our forebears. So it just doesn't make sense that you would let your adversary to educate your children about you. What are they going to teach them? So that's how we began this project. So we started off as a research, of course, in 2011. And then last year was, 2021. So we were celebrating 10 years after the establishment of this Madisebo University College. So and what inspires us is the African buffalo. So now imagine that you, buffalo parents, they only have one child who is a buffalo boy. And they decide that to send the child to the lion school. And then so they register at the lion school and then, you know, and they apply, they register, the child gets accepted. And then on the first day of class in the auditorium, the lion professor distributes a course outline that says Clause 101. So now the professor starts saying that, you know, the claws are extremely important in order to survive in the African jungle, in the African grassland, in the savannah. Therefore, you need to master the rudiments and the principles of the claws. Any question? And then the buffalo student raises a hand and says, Professor, I have trouble wrapping my mind around the concept of the claws. And the professor says, why? He says, no, that's because I look at my feet, I realize I don't have claws. Then the professor says, what do you have? He says, no, I have hoofs. Then the professor says, no, it's just a matter of time, you'll get it. You see? And then another time they talk, and then the professor says, no, you also look around and you find that nobody has horns, you're the only one with horns. So we're going to have to chop off your horns. This is exactly an African student in a historically colonial school, you see. So they are not allowed to do their own thing like Direto, Diboko, Izithakazelo, Izibongo. They cannot invoke their culture because it's not allowed in that environment. So that's what inspired us to establish Madisebo University Research Institute in order to educate the African child the right way.
And what type of programs are you offering there? Do you have designed programs, accredited programs that the institute is offering?
Yeah, that's right. So let's first talk about accreditation. So now, in the buffalo school, if the buffalo, because you see, the buffalo teaches its own children using the buffalo school. Now, if the buffalo school has to be accredited by the lions, it means that the education, the curriculum is going to be compromised, because now the buffaloes will have to always teach its children that the lion is the king, is the master. You know, like you go to the church, says that a white man is a god. That's why there's this white image of Jesus Christ on the wall, which says that a white man is a god. He's got blue eyes, he's got blonde hair, and stuff like that. So, and then also the black mother is encouraged to buy a white doll in order to teach her children. So in our case, we decided to build a school that is independent, right? So, and this school that is independent has to be accredited by its own people. You see, that's our philosophy, and that's our philosophical departure from your standard schools that teach. So in terms of curriculums, so we, for example, teach a number of courses. So, for example, we have a certificate course that teaches things like African origin of philosophy. In Sesotho, they call it Nahano Sen. So Nahano Sen means African philosophy. Basotho call it Nahano Sen. and thereby we teach philosophical principles, you know, that really ground the mind of the African in the genesis and, of course, the origin, the philosophy, the science of philosophy. I'll just give, and then we also teach courses like African origin of mathematics. We also teach courses like Ndeteruane means African origin of writing systems. So, for example, when you read European textbooks, they say that when the whites arrived in Azania, South Africa, the Africans did not know how to read and write. And they started teaching them how to read and write. And what they're talking about, they're talking about the alphabets, you know, ABC alphabets. But actually, nothing could be further from the truth. Africans had their own indigenous writing systems. The only difference is that the Africans, they do not use the alphabetic system. They use symbols in order to write, you know? And a lot of these symbols, we see them in things like on rocks, we see them on calabash. Basotho have something called the ditema, you see, which was used as a writing system in the distant past. So now what we have done at Marisebo University Research Institute, we have used our reverse engineering skills to actually put together and reconstruct these writing systems so that now you can fully write, in that you can write your name, you can write a letter and stuff like that. And we teach that as well. It's part of the stuff that we teach. And then also we teach things like, you know, biological science, because the Africans had biological science long before the Europeans knew anything about biological science. So, for example, Africans, there's a popular antibiotic known as tetracycline. Now, when you do a Google search for tetracycline, it will take you to the Pfizer, the giant pharmaceutical Pfizer website, and whereby you are told that Pfizer is the inventor of tetracycline. And according to them, tetracycline was invented in 1952, and the patent was awarded to Pfizer in 1955. This is by Lloyd Conover. But actually, that patent was wrongly issued to Pfizer, because tetracycline was invented by the African chemists of Nubia more than 1,000 years before the advent of Pfizer, before the existence of Pfizer. You see, and I say wrongly issued because according to the laws, the rules of invention, like I am an inventor myself, I have intellectual property certificates that were issued to me by the Canadian Intellectual Property Office in Canada. See, and so according to the rules, invention must not have a prior art. And what prior art means is that it should not be something that already exists that is being used somewhere. It has to be original. It has to be something that has never been invented before in order for you to be awarded that certificate of intellectual property certificate. But you see, when they were issuing this patent for tetracycline, they did not do their research. They did not do the database, their due diligence. And of course, they did not search through the databases to find out. They did not search even through the scholarly articles, right, which confirm that the African chemists in Nubia are the ones who invented tetracycline. So that's what I'm talking about when I talk about the Buffalo School. You see, because if the school is not based on the principles, on the independent principles of the African buffalo, you see, on the I'm talking here about sovereign independence. You see, that is now the independence whereby you are the architect of destiny. and nobody is there to control your destiny or to manipulate your destiny. So tetracycline, and unfortunately we African people do not write. You see, so we do not write about our African intellectual achievements. We do not write about the intellectual achievements of the African, of the erudite African ancestors who have gone before us. So I'm just giving you this tetracycline as an example of how, you know, we foreground the African origin of knowledge. And as a matter of fact, actually, we have a mission statement. Our mission statement says to retrieve, to reconstruct, and to produce new knowledge of African origin. And what that means in simple English is that we do not source our knowledge in Europe. We source our knowledge on the African continent. That's what inspires us. Thokoza makhosi.
Thokoza makhosi. I certainly love this parable of a buffalo skull. And I guess it captures the essence of where we are as a continent as far as education is concerned, and many other things on how the buffalo cannot and will never actually want to learn from the lions, but it has to learn from its own. That is Motsholoko Zulu. Matabo Zulu is our guest today. He's an African scholar, published author, intellectual historian, and a poet. We are interactive on our social media platforms on Twitter at Channel Africa One. Do you have a question, a comment, or an experience that you want to share with us? This is the place to be. One of the subjects, Motsholoko, that I know you are very passionate about and you have touched on it. You know, the story of black invention and black investors is a very misunderstood story, because all the great inventions, and you saying this, I mean, when we think of the first person to flick the light, we go Thomas Edison. I mean, when we look at this, it's always wise. But you talk more about the need to recollect and to retell the marvelous creation and contribution of Africans to the world civilization as it is today.
Oh, Thomas, I'm a coach. Absolutely. And you know, talking about this Buffalo School, it really inspires us. And for example, you see the invention of a light bulb, for example. So you're right. When you do Google on the invention of light, it's going to take you to Thomas Edison and says that Thomas Edison is the inventor of, for example, electricity and stuff like that. But actually, the light bulb was invented by an African called Latimer Lewis, you know, an African American. And not only that, he actually wrote the textbook, the electrical engineering textbook that was used by Thomas Edison and the engineers that worked there in order to make a lot of things.
I'm not sure if I lost our guest right there. Can you hear me? Okay.
You'll only get that.
Oops. No. I can't seem to be hearing him. I'm sure we'll get him a better line so that he can come back here on the line. Okay, we lost him. That is Zulu, Matabo Zulu, our guest today. I mean, still telling us about the African story of invention. I'm not sure if we're able to get him back on the line so that we just wrap up the conversation. Let's go for a quick break, but on the other side of the break, we're wrapping up with him, but also we'll be catching up with the kingdom of Amampondomse found in the Eastern Cape of South Africa. Let's go for a quick break. We're coming back.
Have you ever asked yourself, what on earth am I here for?
When God placed his image in us, he placed a sense of eternity within us.
What is my purpose in life?
I was made for greatness. I just don't know what it is yet, but I was made for greatness.
Life by Design explores the journey of people from around the continent who live a life of purpose. They share their experience on how they discovered what they were meant to do. Join me, Amanda Machaka, every Monday at 8:05 Central African Time for your weekly dose of Monday Motivation, only on Channel Africa, The African Perspective.
Life by Design. Be the architect of your life.
Join Channel Africa every Tuesday at 8 a.m. CAT for another informative installment of Africa of the Future. You can find us online at www.channelafrica.co.za or channel 802 on the DSTV Audio Bouquet channel. Channel Africa, giving you the African perspective.
We are Masterclass Africa here on Channel Africa. On DSTV, it is 802 or www.channelafrica.co.za. We're wrapping up our conversation with one of the great wisdom keepers of this motherland, Mucholoko Zulu Matabo Zulu. Mucholoko, you are wrapping up the story of African invention. Do you think it's deliberate? The omission is deliberate as we wrap it up?
Absolutely, it is deliberate. It is part of the design because the ECC, Euro-Christian colonialism, they are bent on depriving the Africans of their confidence in their ability to bring their own money. So they are actually gaslighting the African. You see, the word gaslight is a very important word because gaslight means to undermine the confidence of the person. You see, to undermine the ability of the person that they can do certain things. That is called gaslighting. You see, so they are bent on gaslighting the African. And so so there will always be omissions, whether we are talking about, university education, or we're talking about inventions, and or we're talking about anything that advances civilization of the world. They'll always want to undermine. For example, a very powerful German philosopher by the name of George Hess, he wrote a book called The Philosophy of History. And in this book, he says that Africans are not capable of contributing to world civilization. So all these philosophers are influenced by that. Like, for example, Karl Marx was influenced by that book, that scholar, Lenin, for example, Engels. So, and yet you know that African leaders are very much enamored by Karl Marx. I mean, to an extent that they even name their movements after words like, socialism, Marxism, and stuff like that. You see, why? Because they do not have the insight about the design of those ideas, you see that.
Mucholoko, it's always a great honor to sip from your cup of wisdom. And how do people get in touch with you? I mean, this amazing university, they may want to know more about it. How does that go?
I'm a coach, yes. So they just need to go to madisebo.university. So if they go to www.madisebo.university, they will land on the website, and they can read more about the university. And they can also go to zulumatabo.com. So that's www.zulumatabo.com. And they can also send us information, emails, stuff like that. So they have to go to mucholoko@madisebo.university. So that's mucholoko@madisebo.university. They can just Google me and find me.
We appreciate you so much, our elder. I mean, you are a reservoir of this great knowledge, and we wish that the motherland may be kind to you with health and more wisdom. Thank you very much for coming to the show.
Asha Tokoza Makosi.
Tokoza Makosi. And this is Mucholoko Zulu Matabo Zulu. We're going for a quick break, but on the other side of the break, we look at the reinstatement of the Amampondo Mse people of South Africa, their kingdom after 116 years, the impact on the growth and development of its customs and tradition. Don't touch the dial.
Welcome to Change Your Game here on Channel Africa, the African perspective. We're coming to you from Johannesburg in South Africa. My name is Asanda Peta.
what GDF Forum is about and what an opportunity it provides specifically for the audience of Change Your Game.
At Change Your Game, we believe entrepreneurs are the key drivers of tomorrow's African innovations and essential to creating a thriving African economy.
More support, just like invest more in young creatives and entrepreneurship, but actually do it, don't just talk about it, actually do it, you know, because there are a lot of creative minds, there are a lot of intelligent human beings in our country, so I think we should invest more in that and take it seriously, because it's a real thing.
Catch us every Friday at 900 hours Central African time with Channel Africa, the African perspective.
And now we are going to the Eastern Cape province of South Africa. There's a kingdom there known as Amampondomise. This kingdom was reinstated after 116 years. The impact on the growth and development of its customs and tradition. I mean, earlier this month, on Africa Month, this kingdom, they were caught up with the king here in, on Masterclass Africa, because they undertook a visit to Freedom Park of South Africa. You know, Freedom Park is on a mission to strengthen its relationship with many tribes, particularly the forgotten tribes in the African continent. I mean, when you look at the culture of Africa, it's embedded, and the custodians are the tribes, are the kings and the chiefs. You know, famously, we know the Dogon people of Mali, we know the Maasai people of Kenya. Those tribes have been able to withstand colonialism, change, and many other things because of their strength, because of their customs and their traditions. But once you destroy or take away from the people their kingdom in how they do things, the people get lost. I mean, you vanish their history. Their heroes can no longer be traced. So this visit was very important on Africa Month for the Amampondomise kingdom to the Freedom Park. And we caught up with the HOD of Freedom Park to tell us more what was actually the reason and the purpose of this visit. And this is how it all went. We are now joined in conversation by the HOD at Freedom Park for Knowledge and Heritage. Dr. Utsile Ntswane is joining us on the show on Masterclass Africa. Prof, welcome to Masterclass.
Thank you, Shemesh.
Yeah, a very notable event, Prof, that happened. You hosted the Royal House of Amampondomise to come to Freedom Park. Why did you do that? What was the purpose of that hosting and that visit?
One of the purpose of the existence of Freedom Park is to promote and develop indigenous knowledge systems. Now, the holders of this knowledge are the Khosi, Makhosi, the queens and the kings.
Yeah.
They are responsible for customs and traditions. They uphold initiations. They are the holders of cuisine, of food. They are the ones that makes the rainmaker to perform. They are responsible for also the healers. They are responsible for our land. So Freedom Park cannot be Freedom Park without having the presence of the Khosi. Even when Freedom Park was established, all the kings, the kingdoms were visited to get their views about how to present their cultures. But most important is that the first encounters in pre-colonial history, who defended the land, the Khosi, they are the ones before this modern schemes of the Mkhondo seas were applied. The Khosi fought with their regiments to defend their land.
Yeah.
So basically, the Khosis and the kingdoms are the 4 B's of freedom fighting.
Mm-hmm.
They are the 4 B's of resistance. And we recognize them, other than what I said before. That's what Freedom Park is. So they are coming here. It's also to have a plaque, their presence. Because the year before, we had Amapondo. Mm-hmm. And like we have been saying, some people confuse Amapondo and Amapondomise.
Yeah.
So Freedom Park is a platform for all people to define themselves, to represent themselves. So we are going to have the dialogues with the Amampondomise for us to have a deep understanding of various rituals, practices, and how they want to be presented at Freedom Park. We don't impose.
Yeah.
They can think about their names. We can think about an exhibition. We can think about books. We can think about recordings. There are many things. So Freedom Park and Amampondomise, like all other nations and kings and kingdoms are together to preserve a most important aspect, the joy of being free.
In fact, my next question was going to be, why Amampondoms? Why do you focus on this tribe? Is there some elements or special characteristics that you say, because of this, we invited them?
No, basically, we're inviting and we accept invitations from all nations. 2 weeks ago, we had the Bakaogwa, and we have many others who came before. So we always accept invitation or extend invitation.
Yeah.
So we could not resist this important historical presence of the Amampondoms rising from the ashes. And to also present themselves. It is a particular case. They are just like the language of Silobedu, Kilobedu.
Yeah.
They are just like the languages. They died with their language. So when they rise, we must know that they are not only rising as a kingdom. There's a whole lot of things that have been missed. So for us as Freedom Park, Amampondomse will test our interest in resuscitating indigenous knowledges, in promoting it, but most important, to make it understood as part of our African, South African national character. So Amampondomse are very particular to us.
You have chosen to do this in Africa Month. Did you want to host them, particularly in Africa Month, to write on this wave of consciousness for the unity of the continent?
Well, the kingdom has asked to visit, and we have been taking our time, but it was the ancestors make it possible.
Yeah, the perfect time.
The perfect time, the ancestors make it possible. And look, even the word and everything favors us. And the mood, the atmosphere, the tour, everything's atmosphere in perfection. So basically we say it was the right time, but we appreciate that they also came during a very important month in the African continent, the Africa Day, which coming in 2025, where the African Union was formed to actually present a total liberation, a political awareness of Africans. So Amampondomse form part of an African story, and they should be told. We appreciate that Channel Africa broadcasting to everybody will put the Amampondomse out there to say that, by the way, there is this and you cannot ignore it.
Yeah.
So Africa Month is very important for us to work out.
And we caught up as well with the king of Amampondomse, and he told us in his own language how happy and excited he is that his kingdom ultimately has been reinstated. You know, the knowledge of his forefathers will actually thrive. And this is what he had to say in essence. Okay, today we are joined by His Majesty, the King Zwelozuko Matiwane of the Kingdom of Amampondomse, and the Queen, as well as some members of the Royal House. Greetings to you, His Majesty. Okay, forgive us about that particular, that sound. We're going to try to get it on this channel. Basically, the King was expressing his gratitude on how happy they are as a kingdom that they found themselves, you know, to be recognized and be reinstated again. Let's hear if we can get him back here. If not, I think that will be it. Okay, today we are joined by His Majesty. Okay. Let's leave it there. But he expressed how grateful and how happy he is, you know, that his kingdom has ultimately been reinstated, that it will contribute, I mean, to the strengthening and to the growth and development of its customs, and that their heroes will actually continue to be acknowledged, and that this is an opportunity now for them to come together. I mean, it's a story of many kingdoms across the African continent, not just in Southern Africa, but West Africa and East Africa, everywhere in the African continent. And probably as the African continent celebrates or commemorates Africa Liberation Day or Africa Day, these are the milestones that can be picked up by this great continent that we have achieved this and that. And it's a story of hope to an African child to say we are going back to where we originally started. And that's how we come to the end of this show today. We started with Mocholoko Zulu, Mathabo Zulu, a published author intellectual historian and a poem. We caught up on their mission and on an Afrocentric curriculum at Madisebo University, as well as the story of Black invention. And then Dr. Utile Ntswane, who's the HOD at Freedom Park, on the visit of Amampondo Mse to the Freedom Park and what it means. A big thank you to my technical producers in Johannesburg. It is Bongi, and here in Mahikeng, it is Mutusi. I am Semex Kamako.
It's 8:45 Central African Time here on Channel Africa with your economics news. I'm Jolani Tulom. The African Development Bank says it will continue to push for infrastructure development as one of the effective ways of unlocking economic growth on the continent. This as Africa is battling with economic recovery, looming food crisis and the effects of climate change. The bank's Vice President Swazi Chabalala spoke in Accra, Ghana, where the institution is hosting its annual meeting. Khayelihle Khumalo has more.
The African Development Bank Group says with its limited resources, it won't leave Africa in the lurch. It's willing to be a strategic partner when it comes to industrialization, improvement of quality of life, and secure, reliable energy. Its Vice President Swazi Chabalala says they are committed to assist countries like South Africa as it seeks just energy transition. Chabalala says that this is a welcome move and climate change has been a serious impediment. It has also left a trail of destruction in the continent since it's dealing with deadly floods, desertification and other natural disasters.
South Africa's opposition DA leader John Steenhuisen has urged consumers to unite behind the party's call for some fuel taxes to be dropped. He says government must scrap the general fuel levy to ease the burden on motorists as a steep petrol price hike is expected next week. At a media briefing in Cape Town, Steenhuisen said he wanted government to exempt those who already paid for comprehensive third-party insurance from the Road Accident Fund levy. He says they proposed that petrol price be deregulated to encourage competition. Steenhuisen says the general fuel levy amounts to a corruption tax.
By cutting wasteful expenditure, like reducing the size of the cabinet, as we suggested a few months ago, reducing the burden of the 8 billion rand per annum of VIP protection services to ministers and members of the executive, by cutting wasteful expenditure on luxuries like catering and entertainment, and uprooting state capture corruption, which has cost South Africa in the region of 1.5 trillion rand already, the general fuel levy of 3.93 rand can be scrapped entirely.
Zimbabwe's African Elephant Summit has closed without broad support to lift the ban on ivory trade, but it has concluded that decisions that the body overseeing endangered species have taken are no longer scientific. The Convention for International Trade and Endangered Species, CITES, banned trade in ivory in 1989. Zimbabwe had organized the summit so that Africa would have a unified voice at the next CITES gathering in Panama in November. Representatives from South Africa, Botswana, Namibia, Zambia, Tanzania attended the summit in Zimbabwe. In South Africa, rising inflation have become a serious concern for both real economies and consumption, with food prices and transport costs showing upward trends. Higher interest rates are also likely to weigh on consumers, with economists forecasting a further 1 percentage point repo rate increase this year, the equivalent of a 25 basis point hike in every Reserve Bank Monetary Policy Committee meeting until the end of the year. The bank has already hiked interest rates by 75 basis points, a 20% increase for the repo rate. It has warned that the rising cost of living could lead to social unrest. The bank's deputy governor, Kuben Naidu, says they are dealing with a drastically changing economic environment.
We started normalizing interest rates in November. Our view is that we would want to normalize gradually over a 2 to 3 year period. The 3.5% repo rate was artificially low, induced by COVID. But we thought we were in a pretty good space. Inflation was under control. We could hike slowly and gradually as the economy recovered. The war in Ukraine has changed that, but also inflation in advanced economies has changed that equation. And we've had to hike a little bit faster than we probably would otherwise have done.
And finally, gold prices have extended gains and are on track for their second consecutive weekly gain, profiting from recent weakness in the dollar. The greenback hit its lowest against a basket of major currencies as traders lowered Federal Reserve rate hike expectations amid signs the central bank might slow or even pause its tightening cycle later this month. Gold is currently trading at $1,855 per ounce. And now taking a look at the financial indicators, one US dollar is trading at 414.69 Nigerian Naira, 11.96 Botswana Pula, 115.69 Kenyan Shilling, and at 17.15 to the Zambian Kwacha. In BRICS currencies, the dollar is trading at 480 Brazilian Hue, 62.48 Russian Ruble, 77.44 Indian Rupee, 6.72 Chinese Yuan, and at 15.76 to the South African Rand. Onto the commodities market, gold is trading at $1,853 and platinum at $950 per ounce, while Brent crude oil was last trading at $117.60 a barrel. Figile Lingwati standing by for the sports news next. For Channel Africa, I'm Cholani Tulo.
I'm Figile Lungwati. Of course, we begin with football news. The Court of Arbitration for Sport, CAS, has ruled in favor of CAF and rejected Al Ahly's application to postpone the Total Energies CAF Champions League final. CAF was obliged to implement the Executive Committee ex-co decision that was taken in July 2019, which stated that the Total Energies CAF Champions League winner will be determined by a one-legged final. The hosting of the Total Energies CAF Champions League final was awarded to Morocco after Senegal, which was the only other country that had fulfilled the hosting requirements, withdrew its bid. CAF wishes both Al Ahly SC and Wydad AC the best of luck for the Total Energies CAF Champions League final. The match will kick off on the 30th of May. It is day two of the much-awaited FIFA World Cup trophy trip to Kenya that landed at the Jomo Kenyatta International Airport in Nairobi for a two-day stay. The trophy was taken to State House where President Uhuru Kenyatta, alongside Sports Cabinet Secretary Amina Mohamed, Tourism Cabinet Secretary Najib Balala, and the Trophy Tour Ambassador Giuliano Belletti, officially launched the tour.
So it is therefore, I believe, a moment of honor for Kenya as we officially receive the FIFA World Cup trophy today on behalf of the nation, and to recognize that the presence of the World Cup trophy here in Kenya now for the fourth time is without doubt an inspiration to our football fraternity and our youth in particular, giving them an objective to achieve greater football success so that football's top prize may one day hopefully be added to Kenya's trophy collection.
The Cabinet Secretary for Sports, Amina Mohamed.
This is an amazing opportunity, and I'd just like to say thank you very, very, very much for affording all of us this opportunity to be part of a historic moment in our country. This is not the first time that you're going to host the trophy, and I know that you're going to have many more opportunities to do this into the future, but we are really just grateful to be here. We're also grateful to have been able to watch the future talent of our country. Thank you, Your Excellency. Very, very much. I believe, as David does, that these teams here will also hoist this trophy in the very near future.
Rugby news, Sako Makata and Angelo Davids have promised to revive the Blitzbox spirits and flagging form at the London Sevens. South Africa have slumped to second in the 2021-2022 World Sevens Series standings leading up to the penultimate round in England. Makata and Davids joined the Blitzbox in place of injured Tian and JC Pretorius. And for the new arrivals, it is all a matter of contributing as much as possible. Davids, who was donning the Western Province jersey during the first Sevens tournament of the World Sevens Series, says he's still doing Sevens stuff to keep sharp and felt he had integrated well.
Yeah, no, I'm definitely looking forward to this tournament and also the World Cup that's happening at the end of the year, so I'm really looking forward to be back. Yeah, I was actually on my way to church when I got the call and I was like, wow, this is really happening so early, but I was really, 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 really happy to get the call. Yeah, I think it's also that also helped because the my teammates helped me for just getting on track with the final detail. No, I think I'm definitely the same player. Obviously, I still worked on my seven skills and what I have to implement on the field. I'm coming back from 15, so I still had to do my work besides being 15. Yeah, no, definitely. I think the smiles are really back on our faces, so I think the guys are really looking forward to this weekend.
For Makata, watching the Blitzboks grind to a stuttering halt in Toulouse last week was a painful and frustrating experience. The situation will be vastly different for Makata at Twickenham on Saturday as he promises to bring heaps of energy to the team in London.
I was pretty gutted to have missed out the rest of Singapore as well as the tournaments that followed after, but I'm here now and I'm grateful for this opportunity. I'm excited to be out there and play with the boys again. I think it's just a matter of positive energy. I'm sure the guys are down and out considering the losing streak that we've had, but I'm hoping that with the positive energy that Angie and Jordan and Sako bring, everything will turn around and we'll have a crack of a weekend.
The Blitzboks will face Argentina, Ireland and Kenya in Pool B of the London event. That's your sport news this hour.
a.m. in Abuja, Nigeria.
It is 10 a.m. in Nairobi.